You are tuned in to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. My name is Lance White, and I'm your host. Tonight, my guest is Susie Starr. Susie is an 81-year-old starseed, indigo, and visionary. Like many of us, she didn't fit into her family very well and spent a lot of time isolated and a lot of time hiding from her mother in the garden, conversing and being consoled by fairies, gnomes, and ETs. Many tears were wiped away and bruises massaged by her little unseen friends. The little fairies would sit on the petals of the flowers and talk to her and tell her that her mother really loved her. It was just that she was so different that she could not be understood. She had a photographic memory, was ambidextrous, and could read people's thoughts. After many other worldly contacts and time spent learning Ramta's teachings, she has been given the vision of building post-shift creative communities that fully empower the human creative soul on all levels. In her own words, "I know that my mission in this life is to assist in raising the consciousness of the world so that everyone who survives the earth changes and the days to come will have a wonderful place to live where there will be no more wars, sickness, disease, and hatred. A place where there will be no more slavery and everyone will be sovereign and love will prevail." You can find out more on her website, www.susiestar.net. So let's meet this unusual and gifted star child and grandmother now. Hi, Susie. How are you?
Hi, fine, thank you. Great.
Wonderful.
Beautiful, beautiful weather here in Oregon where I live.
Good.
And I spent about 2 hours this afternoon out in our garden harvesting green beans and artichokes and cherry tomatoes.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Among many other things. Yeah, it is. It's lovely.
Well, I have a garden too, and I think that most of us who are tuned in to what's going on with the GMO food and the rest of it are planting gardens for our food and for the flavor and for just for the fun of it.
Yes.
And the sustainability. I think that's the way of the future.
Well, it really is. And that's basically what we need to do is we need to learn how to go back to basics. And, you know, even if you live in the city in an apartment, if you can't have a garden, a rooftop garden, you normally have a little patio, and you can certainly raise things there.
Absolutely.
You know?
Now, just to kind of go back a little ways, what was it in your childhood that made you realize that you were different from the other kids?
Well, number one, I came in with complete memory of who I am and that I was sent here for my mission, and I was allowed to choose my parents, and I did, and I chose my mother because she is a true pioneer. And ironically, the little town that I was born in, I chose to come through her body, was a town called Ponca City, Oklahoma. And in Ponca City, just outside of the city, there is a huge, beautiful, beautiful statue of a pioneer woman. And that's my mother.
Wow, that's wonderful.
To the T. It really is. And so I came in, like I said, with memory. I knew that I was a former Andromedan and that I had been sent here on this mission. I was walking and talking when I was 5 months old.
Wow.
So that's one of the reasons why I knew I was different. You know, and then the other thing, too, is that, well, I looked very different from the rest of my family, and I kept lapsing into this foreign language that no one understood, and my parents were not, they were not wealthy. My father had come from a wealthy family and gone through all of his inheritance, and so he and my mother didn't have a lot of money, but because my mother was so far ahead of her time, she was able to provide us with beautiful, beautiful food. I can never, ever remember sitting down for a meal without having the full meal. Salad, main course, lots of veggies, and always a beautiful dessert. And other kids that I knew, and, you know, I was born in, actually, I'm 82, okay?
Oh, wow, okay.
Was born in 1930, and, of course, that was, you know, right around Depression time.
Right.
But, like I said, we always had loads and loads of food, and so that was one of the things that, you know, I had chosen my mother for, was for the opportunity to teach me how to do all of the basic things that is really becoming a lost art. Nowadays, if a woman had to make her own clothes, she'd be lost.
Oh,
They're so used to going down to the store and buying something.
You know? Right. Well, it's funny because our lives parallel in a certain way. I'm only 61. But I spent a lot of time with my grandparents because my parents liked to party a lot. And my grandparents were pioneers who came out from Kansas in covered wagons and then put themselves through school and had a ranch. And, of course, on the ranch it was just like what you said. There wasn't a meal, three of them at least a day, that were just, you know, five-course meals. And so I got a chance to experience that myself.
Great. Yeah. Well, it's really a wonderful education, and, you know, I feel blessed, even though my mother didn't understand me, and it was very difficult for her. She disciplined me, bless her heart, in the only way that she knew, which was the way she had been disciplined. And so I, many, many times, had to be rescued by my Andromedan family and taken back aboard a spacecraft and healed, because otherwise I would have been mentally challenged, because she used to hit me up against the side of my head and knock me across the room, and I would, you know, hit the wall and pass out. And this went on for a long time, and then, as I got older, you know, there were belt buckle beatings that I had to endure. And so it wasn't the most pleasant of childhoods.
Right, right. But you you stuck to your guns in terms of your beliefs for the most part. You didn't just say, well, I was wrong, Mother. I made that up.
Yeah. I stuck to my guns, and, you know, I matured very far ahead of everyone, and they didn't know what to do with me in the school. They kept advancing me, and, you know, had the family been well-to-do, I probably would have been put in private schools.
Oh, right.
It would have, you know, been a lot easier, but I came here to learn how to express as a human.
Yeah, yes.
And that's the way you do it. You know, you learn by the hard knocks, and that's the
right.
only way you do learn.
That's right.
So,
yeah.
You know, I just lived with it and, you know, left home at a very early age after a very unsuccessful, unhappy marriage, and that my mother had arranged when I was 16.
Oh.
And then I ended up getting married the second time. I was just 18, and I had five Earth children by that husband, and interestingly enough, I had four miscarriages, and I never understood what those were all about until I died when I was 40 on the operating table. And I was taken to the light and shown my Andromedan family and my Earth family. And these two children came forth, and they were young adults, a boy and a girl, and they were extraterrestrial children.
Wow.
They had, they looked somewhat like me, and I was introduced to them as my children.
Wow.
And then later I was told that they, when I was 4 months pregnant, that I lived in a very remote area in Michigan, and they came and they took the fetus from me while I was out and took it back to their planet and raised that child. And they actually did three, but one of them did not make it.
Oh.
And the fourth was a regular miscarriage. But, I have two extraterrestrial children, and they were beautiful, and they came forth in my when I died. And went to the light, they came forth, and I got to meet them, and they got to see me, and that was beautiful.
Wow, that's fantastic. Did anything else happen while you were in the light? Because I've done a lot of shows on near-death experiences with people.
Uh-huh. Well, basically, you see, when I went, well, let me back up. I had complete memory of who I was up until I was 14 years old. And when I was 14, I had a horrible nightmare, and I was shown the possible earth changes, and I couldn't handle them. Mm-hmm. And so I started screaming out, telling them to leave me alone, to go away, and they did. So within 2 weeks, I lost all my telepathic abilities and complete loss of memory of who I was. And so from the age of 14 until 40, I led a very 3D life, call a 3D life.
Wow.
I was very focused into the now, doing the best I could with my children, because my husband, bless his heart, he was a brilliant, brilliant young man, but he had had a very disturbed childhood also, and he didn't want children.
Oh, boy.
And I thought, being that he was raised Catholic, that he would change once I had the children. But he didn't. Not until later on in his life did he change. But when the kids were little, I was mother and father to those children.
Wow.
And I spent a lot of time with them, taking them places and, you know, going places. And we had a lot of fun together, and I loved it. But like I said, I was very into the now. So when I died on the operating table, that's when my past was revealed to me. The veil was dropped, and I got to see, you know, all of my past. And that's the first that I remembered. I mean, I didn't, you know, up until 14 I knew. But then after that, like I said, the veil was dropped, and I had no memory of that, you see.
Right.
It was revealed again when I was 40, when I died, and my whole life passed before me, and I saw all of that. And then, after I came out of that operation, the veil was dropped again.
Mm.
And all I remembered at that point in time was enough to tell my doctor, my regular doctor, that I was never, ever going to go to a doctor again. And I didn't, except for broken bones.
Right.
You know, but it has slowly been coming back, the memory. And I was told by my Andromedan family that you were sent here, Susie, to express as a human. So you are only going to be aware, or it will only be revealed to you what you need to know in order to function.
Yeah.
So through the years, it has been gradually coming back. And when I lived on the island of Kauai for 10 years, that was when I had the most memory come back to me.
Isn't that island a kind of a connection to some of the past civilizations that have been here before? It's a very strong spiritual place.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was my original entry point into this earth as a human.
Uh-huh.
You see, up until the time that I went to Andromeda, I traveled around this Earth, this world, actually, mm-hmm. I shouldn't say this Earth, the whole world, as a light being. And what I was doing was working with the different extraterrestrial groups, teaching them to come from a place of love.
Mm.
Because without love, no matter how intelligent you are, it will always dead end.
Yep.
You know, it will end up like the Atlanteans, okay?
Yep. Or like what's happening today.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
So when I went to Kauai, it came to me that I had lived there as a Lemurian.
Mm.
And that's actually, and that's actually when I met Ramtha. I was living on the island. I had a real estate and development firm over there. And I had started a company called Creative Communications that I could bring educators to Kauai. And I started out doing that for the real estate people because, you know, that's a remote island.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have the access to all of the fabulous trainers that I had when I was doing real estate in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
I lived near San Francisco.
Oh, yeah,
and,
me too.
You know, and I worked for the number one real estate firm in Santa Clara County.
Wow.
And our broker paid for us to go to all of these incredible instructors. And they love to come to San Francisco,
uh-huh.
You know. So I got all of that fabulous training. So I wanted to bring those educators to Kauai, which I did with my creative communications business.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day these women came into my firm, and they were interesting. They were the girls that had started the ropes course.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yes, I do. Well, I took it through the EST Foundation.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah, during the 80s.
Well, they came to Kauai because they decided they wanted to live over there. And they had made a lot of money with all of their interviews and everything with this
mm-hmm.
ropes course.
Mm-hmm.
And so I helped them find several places, a place to live and a place for their business. And one day this young man came by their place of business, and it was a metaphysical bookstore, and they had a bunch of crystals and things in the window, and he saw them, and he went in, and he told them, he said, if you'll arrange a meeting, he said, I just came back from a wonderful, wonderful seminar, and I will show your friends and you a video, and it was of Ramtha.
Ah.
So I went. And I sat there, and I knew, I'm getting goose skin right now just talking about it, because I knew immediately that Ramtha and I had a past together.
Uh-huh.
And so when I, after that was over with, I started showing Ramtha in my home, the Ramtha tapes. People from all over the world, Lance, were coming to my home to watch the Ramtha tapes.
Oh, nice.
And one day this young couple showed up, and it was most unusual. I have a very varied background. There's not too many things I haven't done.
Okay? Sounds like it.
I mean, like when I lived in Alaska, I ran a restaurant. We used to serve 250 people a day in that restaurant.
Oh my gosh!
I know.
Wow.
And my pies and my soup were their favorites.
Oh,
I used to sell 50 pies a day, an average.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
Well, that's a lot.
Yeah. And then the offshore oil riggers came to me and asked me to do a dinner for them. So I started a catering business.
Oh.
I used to cater sit-down dinners, prime rib dinners,
mm.
for 200 at a time of these offshore oil riggers.
Wow.
In Alaska. Okay? So like I said, I've had, you know, plenty of experience. So on Kauai, there was never, ever a time that I can remember that I didn't have at least a dozen guests at my house for dinner.
Oh, nice.
And I lived up in the mountains on Kauai, up near Kokei, Mini Canyon, and the big forest up there.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it's called Kokei Forest, and the little Grand Canyon is right near it, right across from it. Anyway, people would come up there to listen to the Rompetes. And then they would go out into the wilderness, because that was one of the things that Rompa stressed, was to go into the wilderness and commune with nature for about 10 days and hug a tree and just be by yourself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they would come to my place and stay, and then they would go off on their trek into the wilderness, and then they would come back.
Wow.
And so, like I said, I had all these people all the time coming and going. And one day this young couple came, and I was busy getting dinner, and I never paid any attention to how they got there. Just assumed they came to listen to the Rompa tape. So I welcomed them and told them to sit down and watch the tape, and now I went on into the kitchen to do my dinner.
Uh-huh.
And the next day, the girl who had introduced herself as Light, and by the way, I know now that she was an Andromedan. She was
okay.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful woman with black hair and the beautiful peach and cream complexion, the almond eyes.
Oh, yes.
Just gorgeous, you know. And he was tall and blonde with blue eyes, called himself Borg.
Oh.
Well, she came to me and she said, "Susie, if you have a place where we can have some privacy," she said, "I have a message for you."
Mm.
So I said, "Well, sure." So I took her into my bedroom and she said, "You know, you might want to record this."
Mm.
So I said, "Okay." So I got a tape out and popped it into the tape recorder, and we sat there cross-legged, and she went into a trance, and all of a sudden she started telling me all about my past.
Mm.
And then she said, "You know, now if you have questions, you know, I'll be happy to answer them." So she did. She answered my questions, and I listened to everything. And when she finished, I threw the tape in a box and I forgot all about it. 18 years later, I'm in Oregon. I had just moved here from Washington, and I didn't have TV, decided I would listen to some Rompa tapes, reached into my box, and the first thing I pulled out is this tape from Light.
Mm.
And I popped it into the recorder. Well, you could have knocked me over with a feather.
Well, what was it about? Tell us all
about
it.
It was all about how I had come here to start these creative communities.
Uh-huh.
And to introduce water, a special water, to the world, which would help raise the consciousness. And that was what I had moved to Oregon for, from Washington, was to work with this brilliant physicist who I work with now, a Dr. Max Langenberg. You want to hear his real name?
Sure.
Dr. Albert von Hohenlohe von Prince Maxwell Langenberg.
Whoa.
What a handle, huh?
Yes.
He is from the Hohenlohe Langenberg family. You can do a Google on him.
Uh-huh.
They have castles, and he's one of the wealthiest. They are one of the wealthiest families in Germany, and
wonderful.
He also chose them for the wonderful lessons that they could give him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he sent for me.
Wow.
And I had no idea who he was, and I came here, and I brought with me one of the brilliant physicists from the Rompa School, because I didn't know what this was all about, you know.
Right.
And anyway, that's when he told me that who he was, and that We had had several lifetimes together, and he even built and lived in castles together, and
wow.
that I had been sent to him to help him with this mission, and our joint mission is to introduce this fabulous water to the world.
Oh.
Okay? And this water contains a crystalline oxygen that when you ingest it, the seven-sided crystals of the oxygen penetrate your cells, kick out the old dead carbon-based oxygen,
uh-huh.
and replace it with the crystalline oxygen.
Oh.
Okay, and that raises the consciousness.
Oh, we could certainly use that right now.
Mm-hmm. So when enough people have consumed enough of the water, then it helps raise the consciousness of the world.
Wow.
And, of course, that's, you know, what we're all about, is raising our consciousness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I've been here now for 9 years working with Dr. Langenberg, and I went to an event with a dear friend of mine, a Dr. Todd Ovakite, that I want to talk with you about.
Okay.
And because Dr. Ovakite came up with a cure for AIDS.
Ah.
When he was living in South Africa. And anyway, I was at one of his events. He's also a Lemurian, and it's a story in itself. I'm hoping that he gets interviewed, you know, if not by you, by our Stephen Cook. Somebody's going to interview him because they need to know his story. And,
well, you send me some information on him, and I'll get in touch with him. How's that?
I will. I definitely will, yes, because he's an incredible individual. Anyway, when I was at his workshop, they tested me, one of the men that was there, and my cells are now 95% crystal.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that neat?
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, does that affect your abilities? For instance, they say that we have, besides the five lower senses, that we have 360 subtle senses that the Egyptians used to use,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and that we should be able to use all of those senses and more.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
So has this water helped you to heal your body and to raise your consciousness and to have deeper intuitive and empathic skills?
Yes. Yes, it has. It has. And while I don't have the telepathic ability because it's still being blocked,
right?
Because
right.
you want to remember that I came here to express as a human.
And we're all under the veil.
Yeah, exactly.
Until the veils lift.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but the veils are slowly, you know, dropping. And and one of the things that I love about Dr. Todd is that he was guided to go and swim with the dolphins, and he teaches toning.
Oh, wow.
Okay, and he was directed to do a Lemurian choir, and he is doing a reunion in Maui in December.
Ooh.
And people from all over the world that have memory of being a former Lemurian are going to get to go to that.
Oh, how wonderful.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just everything. I love the synchronicity, Lance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everything just all comes together. And, you know, there isn't a day goes by that I don't meet another wonderful, loving, exciting person that is supposed to be involved in these creative communities, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, let me get back to light and Borg, because
yes.
I want to tell you what happened with that.
Yeah.
After she gave me the reading, you know, the next day, all of a sudden, I noticed they weren't there. And so I asked around my other guests that were there, and they said, gee, we don't know either. They just disappeared.
Uh-huh.
So they came there. They were sent there.
Right.
And
right.
they came there with no car. Okay.
Right, of course.
Nobody saw them arrive and nobody saw them leave. They just left.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, that's what's been going on with me and my life. And when I went to the first Ramta event, He told me, he said, Susie, you and I were Lemurians on the island of Kauai, and
wow.
we lived together in underground caves and lava tubes.
Interesting.
And, yeah, and you know, it is interesting because when I lived on Kauai, I kept being shown these things and being shown the giant crystals that have been buried there that are helping to stabilize our world and to also to raise the consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Wonderful.
Anyway, I'm blessed.
No kidding. No kidding.
I love it. Yeah. And, you know, I've had so many different professions and so many, you know, I've been an electronic technician working with very, very highly evolved, mentally highly evolved engineers from Fairchild Semiconductor.
Oh.
And, you know, and then I had my my restaurants and my creative communities. I do costume designing for the Oregon Performing Arts Center and for another beautiful, beautiful lady from New York who came to Yelm, where I live, to be at the Romtha School.
Uh-huh.
And I made costumes for her. And, you know, there aren't too many things that I haven't done, and that's what I needed to do, you see, so that I can share this with my creative communities.
Well, now, that kind of brings us into another aspect of your life, and that is, how are you involved with this interesting project, which is on the home page of your website? It's a global project to create 250 creative communities around the world.
Right.
And these look absolutely wonderful. I'm assuming that these are post-shift communities that don't use money and that are empowering and self-sufficient, that encourage creativity and all of the abilities that we have inherent within us to come out. Are you actively involved with these communities now?
I am actively involved in recruiting people to be involved with these creative communities.
Good,
when
good.
I first started that came to me over a period of 5 years.
Wow.
When I was in the Romtha School,
uh-huh.
and by the way, I was in that school for 18 years, and I want to say something about that school, because there is not a day goes by, and I'm getting goose-skin talking about
okay.
this, that I don't bless Romtha. And I don't bless Jay-Z Knight for bringing him forth for us to learn, because I'll tell you, that was the most fantastic education that I could have ever, ever in a million years ever had.
Wonderful.
And, you know, it is. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
And after having been in that school for 18 years, you know, bless their hearts, and I'm not putting them down, but I go to other channelers. It's like going back to kindergarten after having
right.
been in college.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yes,
I mean,
do.
We did things out there that nobody has ever, ever taught. And Romtha was one who believed that you don't just sit down and get the philosophical knowledge. You
right.
put it to work.
Right.
You know, you've got to make it work. And so we spent hours out on the field blindfolded with 1,000 people. Okay? There'd be 1,000 of us in the event blindfolded in this big field that was similar to, I guess it was maybe as big as a football field. Okay? Maybe bigger or maybe smaller. I'm not sure. But at any rate, it had two white rails around it, and we would make these cards. And... put them on the fence with tape so that we couldn't see what was on there, and then blindfolded, and we would put that in our consciousness, and we would walk among those 1,000 people looking for that card that was ours, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When we came up to the fence, We were allowed to lift the blindfold, and if it was our card, then we could take it off the fence and go to the Red Guard, and he would put it on the front of us, and we would get recognition for that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got very good at that. And, you know, like I said, we were in the school, and then I was, I had been honored by this gentleman who hired me to run what he called the Master Center in Yelm, where people from all over the world came and stayed while they were in an event.
Mm-hmm.
And he paid for all of my teaching, so I
wow.
didn't have any money worries, right?
Wonderful.
Yeah, and I could go as many as I wanted, so I went to everything. And so I would go, you know, I'd be out there on that field, you know, 5 or 6, 7 times a month. And sometimes they would last, I can remember some of them lasted for 12 hours.
Huh.
Can you imagine walking for 12 hours blindfolded?
Well, no, not really.
You go into another dimension, Lance.
I'll bet.
You do.
Well, the blind is said to see things that we can't see. If we just allowed ourselves to experiment with that, we would be seeing the light without our physical eyes.
We exactly.
We'd be seeing the third eye.
Yes.
So,
exactly.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
a wonderful thing to do.
Yeah. It is. It's what, you know, there were so many times that I would end up somewhere else. I can remember times when I was out on that field and all of a sudden I'm in a dry, dusty, arid place with rope sandals and a very rough woven robe on, you know, walking. I mean, I would find myself in the craziest different places, you know. And anyway, I got, as I said, very good. I would find my card, and it was nothing for me to have 3 or 4 cards pasted to the front of me. But eventually, I ran out of things I wanted to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden, what started coming to me were these circles. And the first thing I got was 6 circles in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you look at that thing on my website and picture those circles with nothing in them, that's what I'm talking about.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Over a period of 5 years, once those circles came to me, and Ramtha told us, he said, now you meditate on what you want to manifest, and whatever comes to you, you put it on your cards.
Mm-hmm.
So these six circles showed up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then the other card, the other thing that came to me was the infinity symbol. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So once those two things manifested, once they came to me, I put them on my card, and I put them out on the fence, not having any idea what they were or what they meant, okay? And from the time that this started, over a period of 5 years, I went for 5 years without finding my card.
Oh, wow.
Okay, now you can appreciate, every time I'm out there, 5 and 6 times a month,
right.
anywhere from a half an hour to 12 hours, walking, looking for my card, never to find it.
Huh.
However, each time we went out, more information would come to me, and the circles gradually started filling in. Now, if you look at that diagram, the first one that came to me that filled in completely was the Performing Arts Center.
Okay. Yeah.
Now,
I see that.
I said, okay, well, monkey mind kicked in. The reason why that came to me was because I was doing costumes, and I love, you know, I've never been
yeah.
an actress. Well, I, you know, in school.
It sounds like a great deal of fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So then the next thing that came was the Healing Center.
Okay.
And then the next thing was the hostel. And then the next thing that filled in was the School for Children. Now, mind you, these kept gradually filling in and filling in and filling in, okay? And everything got so complete that I would physically stand in the center of that Performing Arts Center. And by the way, the stage is a circle in a round circle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I would stand there, and I could actually smell the upholstery in that performing arts center.
Wow. Okay?
I could feel the plants. I mean, that's how real it became to me. Okay?
That's wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, and so pretty soon, the whole thing all filled in.
Wow.
And I still had not found my card.
Huh.
Okay? And so one day, we had just had this teaching from the Ram about getting out of our ego. So I'm standing at the edge of the fence, and we'd been out there for about 4 hours already that day, and I hadn't found my card, and I was getting tired and dusty, and I stood by the edge of the fence, and I closed my eyes, and I started talking to Ramtha, and I said, you know, Ramtha, if this is my ego, I don't have to do this.
Right.
I've never done anything like this in my whole life, you know. I've never built anything like this. If this is an ego trip I'm on, fine, I can let it go. I don't need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But if this is what I'm supposed to be doing, I need a sign. I need to know. Lance, I pulled down my blinders, took off across that field, and immediately found my card.
Wow.
Found what you see on that picture on my website.
It's quite beautiful. And what I really like is that it includes a labyrinth, which is something that I have had a couple of guests on who have built labyrinths, built on the place in Chartres, France, that has a labyrinth, and the power of the labyrinth is so important.
Oh, it's incredible,
so
isn't it?
You have a wonderful template here for a conscious community.
Yeah.
Now,
well,
do
guess
you,
what? We had a labyrinth in the Ramtha school.
Oh, cool. Wonderful.
Yeah, and we would put our blinders on, and the object was to find the void, which was the very center
of
the labyrinth. Okay.
Right. Usually people start bawling or, you know.
And we spent hours and hours and hours in that labyrinth, too.
Mm.
And one day, it was so funny, I was standing. There were several places where you would crawl to get in the labyrinth, into the center.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them would dead end, and they would come back out again. You'd start crawling through this tube thinking you were going in, and then you'd end up back out again. So this one day, this had been going on for quite some time, and I was standing outside, and Ramtha had a platform up above the labyrinth, and he was standing up there, and he was saying, come to my voice. Come to my voice. And I'm standing outside, and I said, oh, my God, Ramtha, I would love to come to your voice if I could only figure out how. And you know what? All of a sudden, it went blink like that, and I was standing right under him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
It is. It is. So again, you know, it's a fabulous school, and you may hear contrary, but you know what? That's because people don't know, or they get in there and they fail, or they're not successful and they badmouth it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, and that's their, to me, that's their shortcoming, okay?
Well, I think everybody has to find their own way. And then with any school, I think you have to give it a chance and find out for yourself.
Well,
and not every teacher is for that particular person. So
instead
of making the teacher wrong, we need to simply make an adjustment and realize that, well, that teacher was not aligned with my soul path, and there must be somebody else out there. And get what you can from the people. I've gotten so much from Jay-Z Knight's appearances in What the Bleep and other shows,
and
she always inspires. So I'm tickled about this community. Now, one question that comes up.
Okay.
Since we're in, I never thought, for one thing, I never thought I'd be alive in August of 2012.
Uh-huh.
But I am, and so are you, and here you are at 82. What is your intuitive and empathic feeling about what's coming next and the time frame that we're looking at for some of these Earth changes and how we can implement some of the shifts in our own life prior to anything, prior to what's coming?
Well, number one, as soon as we can have disclosure,
yes,
the ETs are going to come down and work among us. They're not going to do it for us.
Right.
So we can't sit with folded hands. They're going to come down and teach us and work with us. And I was told by my Andromedan family that there's going to be 12 or 13 different extraterrestrial groups that will come and work with us. And we'll be able to choose who we work with. Okay. But once we work into the fifth dimension, we are all going, our ages are all going to be reversed back. And have you ever, did you ever read the books, The Life and Teachings of the Masters of the Far East?
You know, I might have missed that one.
Okay, well, there's like five or six of them, and it was an actual happening that occurred back in the early 19th century by this man who, Baird Spaulding was his name, from the Los Angeles area, and he and a dozen very highly intelligent individuals were invited to come to India and work with the Ascended Masters.
Okay.
And they showed them what you can be like. Now, if you guys have not read those books, I highly recommend you get them.
Would you repeat the name of the book and the author again so we can check that out?
All right. It's called The Life and Teachings of the Masters of the Far East.
Okay, good.
And you can buy them from Amazon. They have them. They have the used ones. The author is Baird, B-A-I-R-D, and his last name is Spaulding, S-P-A-L-D-I-N-G.
Wonderful.
Spaulding.
Oh, I love it. Thank you.
And in there, these masters are thousands of years old.
Mm-hmm.
And they look like they're in their 30s and 40s, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they showed Baird Spaulding and his companions what we have the ability to become and what we will become when we move into the fifth dimension. Okay.
Now that's, as I understand it, that is something that could happen as within the next year, so to speak.
That's correct. Yes, that's correct.
We're in a window of time, and that it isn't necessarily the December 21st or 22nd, 2012.
No.
Instantly, poof, everything's going to change. But there are several windows that are going to be opening for different people, perhaps different timelines.
Right, exactly.
And each of those timelines ultimately leads us out of the, shall we say, the imposed matrix and the control systems of this society, and into a higher loving, compassionate realm in which we're free to do much more than what we're able to do here.
Right. Absolutely right. And so the creative communities, in all probability, will not be built. Well, they won't be built until the timing is correct. When is
that
going to be? I don't know.
Right.
Whenever we get our money. But what has come to me is that our ETs have the ability to create a complete, they could create a complete creative community like I have pictured there. And by the way, there's much more to that community than just what is shown there. That's just the community center.
Mm.
But at any rate, they can completely recreate that in 3 days.
Oh, I believe it.
And have
it
up and running. Yeah. So actually what our job as it is seen now and as I understand it now, and this keeps evolving as I evolve, is that we will simply be manning it.
Right, right.
And supplying or providing the education for what I call the bridge people.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, these are the people that are going to make it through the earth changes and through the days to come, okay?
Yes.
they're not necessarily going to be able to move immediately into the fifth dimension because, like you said, they're becoming at different levels at different times. And so our job is to be able to run these centers and show people what they have the capability of becoming.
Yes, yes.
So that's
absolutely
basically what our job is going to be.
That's what I'm sensing as well, that there's so many people like us that are, shall we say, we have a vision and we are prepared, but we're in a holding pattern for the moment.
That's right.
And
that's
we will
exactly
be pulled
right
out of, the switches will turn on, the DNA
mm-hmm
switches, and we will know intuitively and without doubt what it is that we're here to do.
Yep. That's
and
exactly
I think that
right
some of us are getting clear about that now. It's just a matter
mm-hmm
of the timing, and that's something that nobody can foresee, and also with one's preparedness. So
mm-hmm
it in some ways it seemed to have gone on a very long time, but I think it's going to accelerate in the near future.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely will, yes. And you see, when I was interviewed by Stephen Cook, that was so popular. And then before that, I was interviewed by the Freedom Club USA. And I just want to very briefly mention that the CEO of that Freedom Club USA, his name is Tom Lawler, is a highly, highly, highly evolved light worker
mm-hmm
that has come here to make major changes in our world.
Wonderful.
And he's doing a fabulous job.
Wonderful.
So when I was interviewed by him, a lot of people signed up because and emailed me because they wanted to be involved. And then
mm-hmm
again when Stephen Cook, same thing happened with that, okay? And I just want to say to everybody, please do not be discouraged. Do email me. Know that I now have somebody who is assisting me. Even though I may not be able to talk with you personally, which is what I used to do, you know, over the period of 9 years, I have talked and recruited over 300 people.
Good.
Okay, now, just from Stephen's interview, there were 85 people that emailed me, and I wanted to talk with each one of them individually, but I just haven't been able to do that. And I want everybody to be aware that, you know, I really want them to send in their documentation. And if they would, in their subject line, put the state that they're from or the country, and then their name in the subject line. And if they choose to put their profession, that's fine. Then that way we can file them, and then that way they're all set up by state so that when we go to the different states or the different countries,
I
can call on those people to be involved.
Yes, yes, that's a good idea. I think there's going to be a lot of different people coming together in conscious harmonic contact in the near future from slightly different perspectives, and we will all be working together on very similar projects like the one that you're talking about,
mm-hmm,
because it will be necessary all over the planet. So it looks like we're getting close to the end of the hour, and I didn't think it was going to happen so fast, but I want you to be able to give your, if you'd like to give out your email address and
all
your
right
website so that people can contact you, if you'd like to, that would be fine.
I would be happy to do
that.
Okay,
good.
Okay. The website is Suzie Starr, and make sure you spell it properly, S-U-Z-Y with one R, S-T-A-R, at, or rather, my
.net.
My website is suziestar.net.
Yes.
Okay, not com, net.
Right.
Okay. My email address is suziestar@earthlink.net.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very good. And we have a few minutes left. Are there some things that you'd like to share with us about these times, or about what might empower people during these times that are so difficult for so many?
Well, I think the most important thing is to stay in the now,
mm-hmm.
and focus on what you want to see in your life as if you already have it.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
if you're continually focusing on something out there, that's where it's going to stay, out
mm-hmm.
there. So surround yourself in it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, if you want to have fabulous wealth, picture yourself sitting in an egg and all these gold coins showering down around you, okay?
Uh-huh. Okay.
And because if you're looking at a gold bar sitting out there in the universe, it's going to be sitting out there forever. So you want to bring it in.
Okay.
Bring it into the now. And like I said, you know, stay in the now. Don't fill yourself with negativity. Stay away from the negative programming that's going on out there, because that's, you know, that's what our Illuminati is doing right now. They know they've lost, okay?
Yep.
But there are different contingents out there of Illuminati. They were all over, everywhere.
Yes.
You know, they infiltrated
everything. That's right.
And some of them don't know that they've been defeated.
That's
and
right.
then even those that do, they know that they can't stop it.
That's
but
right.
But they can sure cause
throw some
trouble
monkey wrenches
among us. Yeah, the old, what do they call that? Divide and conquer.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. And that's what they're trying to do, is to divide people. And then one last thing I want to say, and this is going to be contrary to a lot of people, but I'm going to tell you, you watch. Obama is a good guy.
Okay.
Okay. Just wait until he can reveal his true self.
All right.
And it's going to be a shock, but it's going to happen. And, you know, he's another one that was sent here. He was sent here to help us, and he'll eventually be able to, you know, reveal his true self. So don't pay any attention to the negative things that are happening right now, because he's doing that just to keep himself alive and his family.
I appreciate your sharing that, and we won't have long to find out, will we?
No, we won't. That's for sure. That's for sure.
Yeah. So.
And so in the meantime, go on my website, look at what I've got going. Know that eventually we're going to be moving into a cashless society.
Yes.
Where my experience with starting a bartering club back in the 70s, we'll be doing bartering, and
yep.
everybody will be without needing money. But the money is going to come forth, and that's what's going to help us get to where we need to be.
Exactly.
So when you get your fabulous wealth, spend, because that will jumpstart the economy, and that's what we need to do right now.
All right. You got it.
Okay.
Well, Susie, thanks so much for being on the show. You've been a delight, and I just love what you're doing, and people can get a hold of you through your website and your email. So
exactly.
Thanks again for being on the show tonight and for giving us so much wisdom and so much insight.
Well, thank you, dear Lance, for inviting me, and we're going to heal you, too.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right, everybody.
So keep doing the good work, sir.
I will.
I test you. I know you will.
Stay tuned for the next show, and we'll talk to you next week. And thanks again, Susie, and good night.
Good night.